You know, we are a partner church of compassion. Paul's going to bring some figures. There's a caveat to the figures. The figures are from our partner project. But I know some of you have had Compassion Children for a long while. Their figures aren't included in the figures that we'll see. But for next year, if you come and see Paul at the end and let him know where your child is, and everything else, we'll take the details so that next year's figures will have all of the Compassion Children that we sponsor as a church included. This is just from our project, but let me just pray for you, Paul, thank as you. We come. Father God, I just want to thank you for Paul. I want to thank you for the work of compassion. I want to thank you that you work mightily through this work. And Lord, I just pray that as Paul speaks to us today, we will be encouraged. I pray that we would be able to respond to what he has to bring to us today. Whether it's by sponsoring or whether it's just by praying and getting more engaged right here. But Lord, whatever it is, we pray that we would be stirred by you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you, Paul.
Just want to thank John and you guys for welcoming Esther and myself here. It's great to be at Farnworth Baptist Church. Seeing all that you've done, just looking at your website earlier this week, just trying to suss you out, see what you're up to. And it's fantastic to see what you're doing in the community. And so I'm honoured to be here at Farnworth Baptist amongst what you're doing. It's absolutely fantastic. So my name's Paul. My lovely wife there, Esther, we're from Warrington, so we managed to get a pass out and come over to the, the dark side, to the light side, to Farnworth, to Bolton. A little bit about ourselves, we have four children, three boys and a girl. Just want to say fantastic to you parents, just brought it all back to me, chasing after my kids under seats and all that. We've now got six grandchildren, six girls, under our belts to try and keep in some sort of order. It's fun and games at the moment. We are volunteers for Compassion. There was a guy in our previous church. We're in transition ourselves. I was associate pastor at a church in Warrington, and we've moved away from that, and we're just in the transition stage ourselves. But there's a guy back there that he works for Compassion full-time, and we just do this voluntarily. There's no pay for us. We just do this because we believe in compassion. But more than that, we believe in investing in lives, particularly compassion with children and with families. And so we're here this morning, and this is called a celebration service because we're celebrating 12 months and more of your investment into the Compassion Project. And you have partnered with those in Uganda, which is interesting. And so we'll look at your stats in a short while. But yeah, it's great just to be able to celebrate what you guys have done. So for you to understand a little bit about Compassion, we're just going to show you just a short clip for 2 or 3 minutes. But basically what Compassion do is that they move into a developing country, a developing area, into a town, into a village, and they partner with the local church. And what they do is they find out children, they find out families that are in need. And then what happens is the church then partner with that family and they invest in them financially, emotionally, physically, and spiritually, and make a change to these children's lives. So just watch this short clip. We'll give you a bit of understanding of what compassion is.
Sponsor had a great impact on me, on my development, because every time I go to school, every time I do something, I always think of them and I always make them proud. Yes, I always want to make my parents proud too, but there's another set of parents that I consider that I don't want to disappoint them.
I see my sponsors, Betty and Boyd, as my family. Because that's how they treated me. They treated me as one of their son.
The first person that helped me believe that I could be a leader was my sponsor, who wrote me that letter and told me that they believed in me. And I thought to myself, if they believed in me and I was going to become somebody, it's true. I can actually become that somebody.
And they always encouraged me just to be a good student, a good daughter, and just to keep learning as much as I could, because even though in my thoughts that maybe I would not be able to do much because I didn't have the resources, but they always put those words in my heart that I will have just a trust in God, that He will open doors for me.
I am what I am today because of a stranger willing to invest in my life and show me the love of Christ and pray for me and encourage me each step of the way.
Brilliant. So that's a little bit of what compassion are about. They're about investing into individual lives to make a change to that life, and then the ripple effect is absolutely fantastic. So I would just want to go into your stats as a church. If you can just put on our PowerPoint. This is the data that's been collected about you guys here. And it will be here any second now. Technology is fantastic, isn't it? There we go. Okay, so Farnworth Baptist Church, this is your celebration Sunday. So, next slide. So, you have made the difference in 6 children's lives. Now, as John said before, there's rumors that there could be more. It's important that we find out that because, you know, there could be 8, there could be 9 children here, and I want to include them, and I want to celebrate you anyway for sponsoring them. So please let John and I know at the end, just so that we can make sure that we can keep the record of what you're doing. So there's 6 children's lives that we're aware of that you guys are changing. And you're in Uganda. Some churches we go to, they sponsor all different places. You're sponsoring just one project in Uganda, which for me is great because you're sort of making a bigger impact in a smaller area because you're all looking after one project. So you're in Uganda. Fantastic. Our next slide. So you have supported 29 letters have been sent back by those children. 17 letters have been sent by sponsors. As you saw in that clip, sending letters is more important than the money. £25 a month it is to sponsor a child. But that £25 is a lot of money, but in the terms of the development and the future of that child, it's only a very small portion of what actually is important. And the most important thing is to write to your child. You know, I've got a young girl, well, she's not young now, I think she's 17. Pauline, her name is. Esther's got one that's called Esther. And they've made it easier for letter writing. You know, I work full time, got children, grandchildren. There's lots of things going on in life. And sometimes the letters are the last thing I do. What we have now discovered, my wife and I try and embrace technology very lightly, but there is an app now that you can have on your phone, and it's absolutely fantastic. And you can actually write your letters, and that gets sent over via the app, and then that gets transformed into a letter into their language and gets dropped into your child. So it's absolutely fantastic. And that app is really, really good. So you can, on the train, on the bus, or just at night, you can just go onto your app and you can just drop a quick letter. I hope you've had a good day today. What have you been doing at school? How is your brothers and sisters? And you can just ask questions and just communicate with them. You can drop photographs in, you put your family in, where you live, what you're doing, the area that you're in. It's absolutely fantastic. But your letters are so important. As you heard there, and you'll hear a story at the end of our presentation today, that the letters are so important because it's restoring hope back into these children. Because the biggest thing that they suffer with is not the lack of money, but the lack of hope. The fact that they feel that they're forgotten, they're worthless, nobody cares, nobody's aware of them. And for somebody, a stranger, to write to them and say, I believe in you. And I'm going to send £25 a month. But I believe that God's got a future for you. I believe God's got a job. He's got education for you. I believe he's going to look after you. And he's got a fantastic future for you. And to restore hope back into somebody's life, just as John said about Millie. It's absolutely fantastic. It's an opportunity to restore hope back into somebody's life. So the letters are so important. Get the app on your phone. If you do sponsor somebody, get the app on your phone. It's fantastic. Our next slide. So there are five girls and one boy that are sponsored from Farnworth Baptist Church. Our next slide. And so some more stats here. We have given out 9 Bibles to those children. There's been at least 35 medical checks that have been done to the children that you're sponsored. There's been around 1,576 nutritious meals. It's normally always above there. They're always very conservative, these figures. And then more than 6,306 hours spent by the children at the projects. And the projects are absolutely fantastic. They're all in the local church, and they have classes, they have singing, they have Sunday school. They absolutely love it. You see some of the compassion videos and the kids going to school. They're absolutely fantastic. They love it. So you can see there that what you've invested has made a great impact on the project in Uganda. And so the number of additional gifts given to children in the past year is 7. So there is extra money that is given on your behalf to help those children, and that's put into different areas of need into their life. So the total financial support over the last 12 months has been calculated at £2,353. Can you give yourselves a clap and a pat on the back? That is a huge amount of money. And you think, oh, well, you know, I didn't realize we'd give that much. And it's amazing how much it adds up. Absolutely fantastic, Farnworth Baptist Church. I think that is the last slide, is it? Thank you. You can leave that one up for the time being. Thank you for making a big difference in these children's lives. You know, and I'm going to not hide anything. Today, you're going to have an opportunity if you want to sponsor a child. Today, our main reason for coming is to celebrate you and to thank you. But we always give an opportunity for you to sponsor a child. And I'll give you an opportunity at the end of this service. My wife, Esther, she'll be manning the little display at the back there. If you're not quite sure, you want to know some more information, we've got booklets and stuff. If you've got any questions, Esther will answer them. She's the brains of the relationship. And she'll answer any questions that you've got about sponsoring children. You know, we went to a little bit of a training day a couple of weeks ago. And one of the things that was interesting to both Esther and I is that we get these photographs of the children and we think, well, they're quite nicely dressed. You know, they don't look that poor. They don't look like that they need clothing and looking after. You know, my kids probably went out in something similar like that if they're going out to play in the park. What we found out is that prior to any sponsors, in faith, compassion already reach out to these children. And that tells me the heart of compassion. is that it's not just about bringing money in, it's not just about the organisation. They really do care about these kids. And even before we choose, even before I chose to sponsor Pauline, they invested in her first. In a statement of faith, saying that we believe in you and somebody is going to sponsor you. And so they've already invested in these children that are out there on the display, saying that maybe somebody from Farnworth Baptist Church is going to sponsor you today or wherever we go next week or the week after. £25 a month it costs to sponsor a child, which is a considerable amount of money. But when I look at in the light of the stuff and the money that I can spend during a month, just maybe on coffees or pizza or whatever else, actually it's very, very little to make the change. And this guy's name is Josiah. He's 6 years old. Well, he looks lovely. There's some adorable ones out there. Is there two sisters? Oh no, they've just been dressed in the same. I thought they were the same girl, but they've just been dressed in the same dresses. So you will get a chance to sponsor a child after today's service. And you know, today I've heard a lot about investment. Everywhere I look in this church, I see about investing in other people. I went to the toilet before, and all I saw in the toilet was about investing in people. Everywhere I look, it's about investing in the community, making a change in somebody's life. That, for me, as a culture of a church, is fantastic. And I want to applaud you guys and John for creating that culture here of investing in others. Because, I mean, I saw Esther pointed it out to me. Out there is a bit of a plaque and it says something like, before you realize it, your life will flash before your eyes. Will you make your life count? On your chair, you'll see a tape measure. And this message has been sponsored by IKEA. You'll see a tape measure on your chair. If you go to the centimeter side of the tape measure, 1 to 100, what I want you to do, you might not want anybody to see it, but I want you to tear off the age that you are now at. I forgot how old I am. Right, okay, there we go. So I've tore that off. I apologize for whoever's going to be doing the housework afterwards. You're going to have lots of bits of paper to clear up. Okay, and quite a question to ask you. What age would you like to live to? What would be your ideal age that you would like to live to? Bit of a question. Me and my wife were asking this, and she looked at me and thought, how long do I want to live with him? Anyway... So I put around about 83, 84 last night. So that's what I'm going to... So just tear that off. Whatever age you want to live to, just tear that off. Some of you might want to be a Moses or whatever. That's fine. You can tear it off wherever you want. What you should now have is your lifespan that's left. When you look at any gravestone, you'll see the date of birth and you see the date of death. And in the middle, there is always a dash. And probably you've heard this before. It's how we live that dash between being born and the day we die. That's my dash that I'm giving you here. That's the time that I've got on this planet, on this earth, to make a difference and to invest in somebody else's life and to change somebody else's world. Have a look at your dash and question yourself and say, what and how am I going to invest? I just want to read a quick passage, and it's one of the parables that Jesus gives to the disciples about their future, about what they are to do once he's gone, how to live their life, and how to invest in others. And this is taken from Matthew chapter 25, starting to read at verse 31. In fact, John just alluded to something similar before. It says this: when the Son of Man, Jesus, comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his big glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put all the sheep on his right-hand side, and he'll put the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was ill, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came and visited me. Can I add one more here? I was in lack of education, and you educated me. What you're doing down the road. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and go and visit you? And the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he'll say to those on his left-hand side, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was ill and in prison, and you did not look after me. And they will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or ill or in prison and did not help you? And he will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for the least of one of these, you did not do it for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. And we see here that it's a big illustration that Jesus sitting down with his men, with his guys, that when he was eventually going to be taken from them and he paid the ultimate sacrifice, he was saying, this is how I want you to live life. I don't want you to live it selfishly. I don't want you to just be storing up money in the bank, storing up things for yourself, living a selfish life, living me, 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 I, self, self, self. But what your life is about is investing in others and helping other people. And as Jesus said, as you help the least of one of these in Farnworth Town, you did it for me. As you reached out and you brought somebody hope, you took somebody for a cup of coffee, you dropped £10 through the door, or you did something to help somebody else, we are actually doing it to our master, because they belong to him. He loves them, believe it or not, just as he loves us inside here. His heart is just as much for those that are just walking down this street now as it is for you and I. And the only way that they find out his heart towards them is by us demonstrating his heart through our generosity and our kindness and our love and our reaching out and investing in others. Very often we ask the question, how do I serve God? What can I do? You know, what's my job? What's my role? And what I will say to you is it's investing in others. Because it has two folds. As you invest in others, it helps them find your future, helps them find their future, and it helps you to walk into your future. As an example, I invested in Pauline 6 years ago and started sending my finance and my letters out to her. And as I did that and got more involved in compassion, it's led me to what I'm doing today. It's opened up my future and what God wants to do for me. But if I wasn't generous in the first place and wasn't willing in that conference to put my hand up and say, yes, I will sponsor a child, I will put £25 aside each month for a child, I would never be walking into what my future is now. And I count so many people. I've been involved in church for 30-odd years in leadership. And many people say, I don't know what my future is. I don't know what God's got for me. Well, what are you investing in? Where are you giving in at this moment in time? Because as you invest now into somebody else's life, you will walk into your future. Jesus constantly invested in other people. And he invested in them when he was tired, when he was hungry, when he was disappointed, when he was despised, when he was rejected, when he was lonely. As you read through the life story of Jesus, he constantly invested in others. And I say that because there's never always a good time to invest. Sometimes the account will be low. Sometimes our energy will be low. Sometimes we'll be disillusioned in life, disappointed in life. Sometimes things go wrong. And yet we find here that when things went wrong with Jesus, he still invested in others. One particular story, when he met the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well, and it was midday, he was tired, he was hungry, and the disciples went off, didn't they, to McDonald's or wherever they went, and said, we'll go and get some food because we're hungry. Come on, Master, come with us. And he said, no, there's somebody I need to invest in. He said, but you need something to eat. And do you know what Jesus turned around and said? He said, actually, my food is to go and invest in other people. What really gives me the energy in life and gives me my future is investing in other people. And as he was sat at that well, a woman came and started to draw water. And if you know the story, they had a conversation and she ended up leaving that well feeling a totally different woman. A woman who was used by men, a woman that had five or so husbands and probably other relationships outside of that relationship. She went away from that well feeling absolutely clean, absolutely whole, feeling a positive woman. How amazing. Because he was willing to invest. And there was times when he was disappointed. I mean, how disappointed would you feel when he was about to go to the cross and everybody scarpered, when Judas came and kissed him with a betrayal kiss? Many of us, I know if I was there, I thought, well, I'll tell you what, if that's how you're going to treat me, then I'm walking away from this. But he never, regardless of what people were saying, what they were doing, how they were hurting him, how they were fleeing from him, he went into his future for you and I. And because of what Jesus did on the cross, we're here today. He invested in me. He invested in you. Just before I finish, one amazing guy that I mentioned many times when I'm out doing compassion is Joseph, Mary's husband. What an amazing man that invested in a child that didn't belong to him. Mary was found pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And you imagine, guys, you know, coming home and our wife turns around and says, I'm pregnant. You know, okay, right, okay. An angel came along and I've been conceived by the Holy Spirit. Imagine being in that scenario. I, as a husband, wonder, that's a big, tall story, that love. And yet, an angel came and visited Joseph during the night and said, your wife is pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And your job is to take that responsibility on your shoulders and invest in that child as if it was your own. I want you to take care of him. I want you to bring him up. I want you to disciple him. I want you to enlighten him. I want you to train him. And as we know, Jesus spent many years in the carpenter's shop learning how to use chisels and hammers and tools and everything else. And God invested in. And the responsibility that Joseph took on. Because as you know, back in the day, what he should have done by the law was to have a certificate of divorce, and he was to have a stone for what had happened. And yet he decided to take on that responsibility and say, okay, God, I'll take this child on. If you say it's been born of the Holy Spirit and some amazing thing has happened, that's fine with me. And I will take on that responsibility, and I will treat that child as if it's my own. And I thank God for Joseph. We don't hear much about him, do we? He appears for a chapter or two in Matthew, and that's it. But actually, his investment in Jesus made him the man who he was and made him a man that was willing to go to the cross. And that's a pretty amazing guy. And my question to us today is, in general, not just about compassion, but the work of this church, what responsibility are you willing to take on? Maybe you've been challenged of late to take on some responsibility, to take on some challenge, and you've been like pushing it away, thinking, no, 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 no. I want to encourage you, embrace it. Because as you embrace the investment, it will take you into your future. Maybe you're in a place this morning, I don't want to get into a preach this morning, but maybe you're in a place this morning where you're wondering what your life's all about. Start investing in other people. Start showing a little bit of kindness, looking beyond yourself into somebody else's life that's in need. And I promise you, you will bump into your future. I want us just to play this last clip. And this is about a lady called Gloria who got invested in. Somebody was willing to say, yes, I will sponsor you. Have a look at the change that happened.
My name is Gloria. I am 9 years old and live in Uganda. I always look forward to going to the Compassion Center at the church near my house. They welcome me with open arms. Everyone is so kind. They say, Gloria, how are you doing? We are happy to see you. I get food to eat and they check my health. If I am sick, they always look after me. I love the games. It is so much fun. My teacher smiles a lot and she helps me in my studies. I learn about Jesus too. They teach me how to pray to him. I love this place and I know they are always here for me, no matter what happens. It is much different in the place where I live. It is very crowded. And I don't see much happiness here. I live here in this house, all 8 of us in one small room. It makes me upset that you don't always have enough to eat. People get sick a lot, and I know some people who have died. It is dangerous in this place too, especially at night. Sometimes I get quite scared. This makes me sad, and I worry about what will happen to me. But I am so happy that I have a compassion sponsor. His name is Andy. Even though he lives so far away in America, he gives me hope. He told me in his letters, Gloria, I am praying for you. Be strong. I am here for you. He makes me feel like my life matters.
When I look at Gloria, I see a lot of potential in her. And at the same time, I see the challenges that she's going through, you know, growing up in a poverty-stricken area that I grew up in. But I know that with the support that she's getting at the Compassion Center, she too will be able to realize her dreams. You can tell a child living in poverty that I am here for you. I am here to walk this journey with you. And that child's life will be transformed. All these opportunities that these children have and I had as a sponsored child are made possible because of sponsors, the church, and Compassion International. I'm here for you.
want to give a child in poverty the hope and encouragement for a brighter future, tell them, I'm here for you, and sponsor a child today.
You know, I probably will never meet Pauline, my child, here on earth. But as John said before, when we eventually get to our eternal home, I'm looking forward just to catching up with her, finding out where her life went, probably meeting her husband, probably meeting the children, and just seeing the change that has been brought about in her life because I was willing to make a commitment. I want to ask you just in closing today, are you willing to sponsor a child? Are you willing to make the difference in a child's life? Is there anybody this morning that would like to sponsor a child? Essa's got a few here. Just before we close, is there anybody that just feels from just what you've seen, what you've heard, wants to take up a challenge? Bless you. I'll let you pick a Is there anybody else that would like to sponsor a child? If you're still not sure, fantastic. Well done. Just see Esther after. I don't like just giving them out. You just pick somebody that you feel a connection with. I don't know. You women have connections, don't you, and all that stuff. So is there anybody else just before I finish? Thank you so much. I want to thank you, Farnworth Baptist Church, for your incredible investment already in what will now be, to my knowledge, 8 children. If you need any more information, some people have questions, wondering where's, you know, does all the finance go to the children? You know, does it get squandered and everything else? We all hear stuff about Oxfam and where money gets. We'll answer as many of them questions as you can. I'd say we're here because we believe in compassion. We believe that all the money is used wisely, correctly, and is invested directly into the children. Can I pray for you before I finish? Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this amazing, wonderful church in this location, in this area. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for John and his wife and any other part of the leadership team and the whole church, which seems to be just a big team here. Lord, I pray that as they endeavor to invest in this area and be a light and be a beacon and to be salt and light in Farnworth community, Lord, that you would just bless their endeavors, Lord. Bless the partnership down the road. Bless the education project, Lord, and any other reaching out from this building, any coffee mornings, any times that this building is open for the community, Lord, that you would just, Lord, let this be an opportunity, Lord, for others to find hope and find chance and find reason for life and for living. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Paul. You said you'd